James, book of James, chapter 1, and we're going to go through our Bible study, and then after this, we're going to have baptism, and then after that, we're going to see how our contacts fared out for the week. I'm excited, amen, of what God has done. I'm so grateful for the souls that have been saved, today, and for just the excitement and the involvement of the church, just in giving out a track and the excitement that God has done for us. And so I'm just praising Him. I won't try to keep you very long, probably will, but I won't try to. And a lot of scripture that I want us to look at tonight. You know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be a joyful time. But when I get there, I want to have something that I can offer the Lord. Now down here, I have my life to give and my service to give. But the Bible talks about having something to cast at the feet of Jesus. And I want to make sure that I have something to give to Him for all the things that He's done for me. It won't be nothing compared to what He did for me. But I want to have something to give to Him. As I say in this morning, the most important thing that you can do is be saved. It's not a more important decision anybody makes in their life than knowing Christ as their Savior. And apart from that, the greatest thing that you can do as a believer is dedicate your life every day to serve Him. He is worthy, worthy, worthy of every day of your life. Amen. And so this evening we're going to look in James chapter 1. We've been talking about temptation, which the trials and the troubles that come from without into our lives. And I want to conclude the thought here. And I was using Warren Wiersbe's outline. I really liked it, and I thought no sense to create my own when his is so good. And so I'll credit him for all the outline we've used. And verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, the troubles and trials of this world. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. With the Lord's help tonight, I want to preach on enduring until the end, for there's a crown to be won. Enduring until the end, because there's a crown to be won. Father, thank you today for the Word of God. Lord, as we open the Bible and read these verses, and as we preach the Word, may our speech and our preaching not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And may you get glory. Anybody here that's not saved, save them tonight. Anybody going through troubles and trials of life, they need you. And I pray tonight, Lord, that as your people, God will put our trust and faith in you. And we'll love you unconditionally. In Christ's name, amen. The Bible says, in trouble they sought me, and I was found of them. Now, I know that many times we think God is mean and unkind because of things that we go through. But you know, God is a very long-suffering, very patient, very gracious to all of us. If anybody in this room got what they deserved right now, we'd all be in hell. And I'm grateful that God is a long-suffering, forbearing God to us. But here is a portion of Scripture that reminds us that God is also a God of grace to help us in times of trouble and to reward us for the things that we have done. Now, I know that none of us in this room are working for rewards except me. But I'm working for some. And if you want to be super spiritual and say, oh, I'm just working, I'm just doing it all for whatever, I'm doing something for a reward because God tells me we can. And tonight, when I get to heaven, as I said, I don't want to go there without anything that I've accumulated for His glory, that I can't one day cast at His feet and honor Him for all the things that He has done for me. I look back over my life and I think, boy, what a wasted time here and a wasted time there, and look back over 20 years here and think of all the things that I've messed up and missed out on, and I think, good night. But I determine, God help me for the rest of my life, whatever that may be, to serve Him, and as the song said, to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. And I want to be, as verse 12 said, I want to be that blessed man. That one that endures temptation, the hardships of ministry, the hardships of life. I want to be that one that is completely confident that God is good and God does all things good in His time. And I want to be able to trust Him that everything that comes my way is in His will and in the providence of what He has for me. Now, when I was lost, that means unsaved, I was on a different course. Listen, if you're not saved tonight, you are on a course deemed by the devil himself. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, I'm going to read you a verse. Now, if you're not saved, this is you tonight. The Bible says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Everybody in this room, when there was lost, was on a course inspired by the devil to take us to hell. But when I got saved, I got out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And I've been there ever since. And thank God tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the troubles and trials that I can face or that I face can all be won in the power of Jesus Christ. I thought maybe tonight we'd just take a little gander through the Bible and look at how blessed we are. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. This is the first scripture I ever memorized in my life. And I memorized it in our Christian school. It was the first scripture we learned in 1981. And I could quote it word for word. I'm just interested in the first part. But how many could quote Psalm 1? One person. Two people. Three people. Three of us could. That's one of the greatest psalms there is. Let's look at it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God said, you want to be a blessed man, you get rid of that crowd you're running with, that ungodly crowd, and you get away from them, and you'll be the blessed man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, what is the counsel of the ungodly? I'll just read you a quick verse. You don't have to turn it. In fact, you can just turn over to Psalm 32. But I'll read you the counsel of the wicked. The Bible said, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay in wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Now that's the counsel of the wicked. We need to avoid the counsel of the wicked. Come on now. Bless God, we need to serve the Lord. Every Christian here needs to separate from people that are taking you away from God. Blessed is the man, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The blessed man is the man who separates from the world and delights himself in the law of God and in the ways of God. Psalm 32. I'll get there here in a second. Psalm 32, verse number 2. Blessed. Well, verse 1 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Hallelujah. And sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Thank God tonight that Jesus Christ has bore my sin and He has imputed to me the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and not sin and its judgment. I have been forgiven. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Thank God tonight for the forgiveness of the Lord. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 in verse number 8. The Bible said, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Tonight, if you can just get a taste of Jesus, if you can get just a little taste of how good Jesus is, the Bible says you put your trust in him and you'll be the blessed man. Your sin will be forgiven and a new life will begin in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah for that. Psalm 65. We're talking about the blessed is the man. Amen. Psalm 65 and verse number 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Boy, that's a good one, isn't it? Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. You hold your hand there, I will read you a verse. Boy, I tell you what, there's so many that come to my mind. But boy, this is a good one. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That's what Jesus said in John 15, 16. Ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you. The psalmist said here, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Could I tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that God chooses you to be saved. God chooses me to be saved. Whosoever will may be saved. Hallelujah. Boy, thank God tonight that Jesus Christ died for the Jew and the Gentile. Thank God tonight Jesus Christ died for the rich and for the poor. He died for all men that all men might be saved. Thank God tonight that he, man, I can remember that day whenever I was walking in sin and darkness and away from God, and Jesus Christ, or the Holy Ghost of God, touched my heart, pricked my heart, and drew me to God. The Bible says, no man cometh unto the Son except the Father which sent him draw him. And tonight, if you're not saved, you're not here by accident. You're here because God is trying to draw you to Jesus. If you've never been saved. Well, that's good. That's good Bible right there. Amen. Thank God. Why? So God said, I want to choose you so you can dwell in my courts. So you can go to heaven one day. Boy, I'm glad he chose me. Look at Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know about you, but it's getting warm. I don't think the air conditioner's turned down as cold as it ought to be. Last week, all I heard was, it's so cold in church. Whew. Psalm 84 and verse number 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose hearts are the ways of them. The Bible says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. You know, today, ladies and gentlemen, we try to handle problems and difficulties all on our own to no avail. But God said that blessed man is who puts his hope and his trust in the power of God to do that which only God can do. The Bible says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's why the devil wants to steal your joy. If you don't have any joy, you don't have any strength. The more joy you got, the more strength you got. Hallelujah. Look at verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. The blessed man is the one who trusts in God. That one who puts his complete confidence in what God can do when he can't do nothing. The apostle said, who could be saved? And he said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Said, preacher, I don't know what to do. Listen, you trust in God and God will see you through. Praise the Lord. Psalm 112. I'm just talking about the blessed man. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Amen. We see him all through the Psalms and Proverbs. Here, we're going to look at a few more verses and get back over there and talk about something we can do for God. Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. The blessed man is that one who fears God. Remember, the Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth. Man, it's such a delight when God says, don't do this. I just don't do it because God told me to. It's such a delight. God says, do this. Man, I love that one. I love to do this because God says to do it. Delights. You know, there are people that don't delight in doing the commandments of God. They do it out of grudge or out of necessity. It is a delight to serve the Lord tonight. It is a delight to know what the Bible says. It is a delight tonight to know you should not, you should not, you should, you should. It's a delight. Praise the Lord. Psalm 8. Proverbs 8. Go to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, verse 34. Blessed is the man. Listen, he's talking here about wisdom. Proverbs 8, verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. He said, that man who hears me daily. Hears me daily. Not weekly, not monthly, not yearly, daily. That's why we read the Bible, because the Bible is God speaking to us. You want to be blessed? You get that book out every day, and you take off reading in it, and you'll get blessed if you'll hear, because God, I am watching, I am waiting at the post, I'm waiting at the door, I am waiting for God to speak to me. And God says, blessed is the man that heareth me, waiting daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. He said, open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it. Have you ever tried to give one of them kids when they're learning to eat, and they've kind of learned some things that are good and some things that are bad, and they get a little taste, and then you try to give them a second taste, and man, they got their lips, I mean, their jaw muscles are tightened down, and you're trying to wiggle that spoon in there. That's the way a lot of Christians are when it comes to getting something from God. We got our mouths closed. God said, just open her up wide, and I'll fill her up. Boy, I like that, amen? Look at Isaiah 56. We're just about done. We've got two more. Isaiah and Jeremiah and Romans. And then we're done with them. Not with a message, but with them. All right? Isaiah 56. I'm just talking to you about being a blessed man. Amen? If you didn't write all them down, I'll give them to you after church. But you ought to go back and study them. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Isaiah 56, verse 2. Bible says, blessed is the man that doeth this. Well, let me read verse 1. The Lord saith, thus saith the Lord, keep ye my judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. God said, you won't be that blessed man on this day, on the Lord's day. You just don't do anything other than what I tell you to do. And that's rest. Worship and rest. Worship and rest. And he said there at the end, he said, listen, and you keep your hands from doing evil. You just don't do evil. Look at Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. I'm just about done with these. Trying to go quick. Jeremiah 17, verse number 7. Blessed, Jeremiah 17, 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. The blessed man is the man that trusts God. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I think everybody in this room really, honestly, struggles at trusting God with every area of your life. I don't really have a problem trusting God with what's past. Amen? I sometimes don't have as much a problem trusting God with what's happening. But boy, when it comes that unseen, I'm just not sure God's in charge of that just yet. Which I know He is according to the Bible. I'm just telling you from the human point of view. Well, walk. Well, I don't know where I'm walking. Serve. I don't know where I'm serving. We have a hard time. Well, God brings us in trouble and problems into our life, and we're thinking, God, what do? We look to get out of it. God said, I want you to endure what you're going through. I want you to go through it knowing that I am completely in charge. Now, I'm not talking about you're in sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about troubles that God brings into your life and that God wants to do something in your life through those troubles, and here we are trying to get out of them and complaining and murmuring, and God said, I just want you to trust me that what I'm doing is right. Young people, the hardest thing you'll learn to do is trust God, because you're always at, the devil's always said, well, what if? What if? Did you know there's not a what if with God? You know, I'm blessed to have all of my kids in church. I'm very thankful that they're in church every Sunday except Caleb and Megan, who backslid on God this morning, was it? Yeah. Yeah. Sam and Elaine's down in Marshall Calvary Baptist Church there, Brother Rodney Haggett. I'm glad they're there. I'm glad all my kids are here. Now, I don't know how they are spiritually, but they have a lot better chance of being spiritually right with God being here than they do anywhere else. So I'm glad that they're here today. But you know, if God put His hand on one of my kids and said, now I want you to go to a foreign land to be a missionary, you know, that'd be hard to let go. I'd be saying, now listen, Lord, I don't know if you're aware of all the troubles. You reckon God's aware of all them troubles? Yeah, I think He might be. Well, God, you know it takes a lot of money. You reckon God knows it takes a lot of money? Well, God, do you know how much my wife wants to see all them kids all the time? If you can convince her, they can go. Yeah, I mean, isn't it a lot easier whenever they're just all right here and you can see what's going on? And maybe sometimes that ain't good. I don't know. All right? But you understand what I'm saying? Can I tell you the greatest place that your children can be is in the center of God's will, wherever that is. I'm going to tell you a quick story. It's going to take time out of the preaching, but it'll be all right. I listen, one of my favorite messages to listen to is by David Gibbs on doing the impossible. David Gibbs tells a story in there about a young girl in Tennessee who was called to go to the mission field. And I forgot the name of the mission field. Should have listened to the tape again. And she was going to this tribe of natives in Africa who were headhunters. And they killed anybody and everybody that came in from the outside. The oil workers had to quit drilling oil because the headhunters kept killing all the workers. And this little girl was called of God to go to these headhunters and preach the gospel as a missionary. She went down to the altar, and her pastor, David Bowler at that time, her parents came and said, preacher, you have got to talk some sense into this girl. This girl is writing her death warrant, her own death certificate, right here. He talked to her, and after a little bit, he said, listen, he said, there's 100 mission fields. And she said, pastor, you've always taught me to follow God, and God is calling me there. So with her determination, the preacher agreed that they would send her. They prepared. They had an older couple from the church that was going to travel over with her, not go to the mission field with her, but travel over with her to go. They got over to the place where they were going, and they rented a helicopter. She would have to rappel in from a very long distance, because even whenever the helicopters would try to come in and do work, the tribe had learned to throw sticks and spears and hit the propellers and knock them down. Here comes the helicopter down. They kill the people and eat them up. I mean, it's a horrible thing. So she had to learn to rappel from such a long distance, so because they couldn't throw that high. And so came today, and so they get her on the helicopter, and the older couple's with her, and there's a pilot and a co-pilot, and they're taking her. And so the pilot is instructed, and he said, "Girl," he said, "you're going to die." He said, "They'll kill you before you ever hit the ground." They come over to the place where she's going to rappel down and go down to meet and to witness and to preach the gospel to these headhunters. And one more time, the pilot makes an unbeliever, makes a tearful plea to this young girl not to go. And she said, "You can come back in 30 days. He said, "Lady," he said, "you'll not make it 30 minutes down there." She drops her supplies down. She wiggles down the rope, and off goes the helicopter. For 30 days, her parents, the church, everybody is sure this girl has met her doom. 30 days, here comes the same pilot, same co-pilot, the older couple, and they pull over to the place where this little girl is supposed to be, knowing she's not going to be there. And this little girl is sitting there in the midst of those headhunters and cannibal people, with 60 to 70 to 80 people around her that she has led to Christ. What they didn't know was that there was a 200-year-old legend that said there will be a God who falls from the sky in the form of a woman. You're to hear and to do everything that she says. Who knew it? She said, "When I landed," she said, "they came and fell at my feet and said, 'You're God.'" She says, "No, I'm just here to tell you about him." She said, "It was the easiest soul winning I ever did." And led those people and started a church. Now, I'm here to tell you, you can trust God, young people, old people, whenever nobody else believes that what God's calling you to do. Now, it won't be contrary to Scripture, but you can trust God. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." Look at Romans chapter 4. Well, I tell you what, we won't, because that's just a repeat of the psalm. Go back to James chapter 1 and verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." We've talked about this man. He's trusting God. His hope is in God. "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." I want to read you just a quick commentary to that verse. I believe it's one of the best commentaries, from our good friend Job. And Job said, remember, he said, "I look this way and that way and this way and that way, and I don't have a clue what's going on in my life. All these troubles and trials are coming upon me." But he said this, "But the Lord knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." You don't have, by the way, you don't have to know what God's doing, and God doesn't have to tell you what he's doing. You just have to trust him that he does all things well. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation," troubles and trials. Now, if you're not saved, you're not the blessed man. Those troubles and trials God may be bringing to your life to get your attention. Isn't it amazing how trouble can get your attention to God? I mean, that quick, all those priorities and times you didn't have time to talk to God all of a sudden seem a little less important, and God seems to be just a little more important. The crown of life. Take your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And verse number 25, I want to mention the crowns that there are mentioned in the Bible. And these crowns are crowns that you can win to one day cast at the feet of Jesus. Every Christian ought to strive for these crowns that God gives us. I was asking Braden and Riley, I said, do you need anything for school? And Braden said, well, I don't really know. Riley said, I need some crowns. I go, what? She goes, I need some crowns. I go, what's a crown? You know, crowns you color with. I said, you mean crayons? She goes, crowns. So we had this big debate at the table, and ain't nobody says it right but me. Y'all say crowns? How many are spiritually minded, saved, and educated in English? Is it right, Miss Carol? Is it crayons or what is it? I would have too. Crowns. So I'm just going to tell you, this ain't crowns like you color with. This is real crowns. Amen. Riley, get me after church and say, Peppy, quit talking about me in church. That's all right, sister. Crowns. Well, I'm going to tell you some crowns that you can win. Chapter 9, verse 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they that do it, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. There's the incorruptible crown given to those who exhibit temperance in their lives. Self-control. Discipline in their lives. I read that again today and I thought, oh my. I really need to learn to discipline my life. Discipline to pray. Discipline to preach. Discipline to study. Discipline to fast. Discipline to do all kinds of things that I believe are biblical. And I thought, my goodness, I need to really be temperate in all things. And so do you for this crown. Look in, I'll try to give you these in order. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So there's the incorruptible crown. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 19. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? The crown of rejoicing are those that have given their lives to reach people with the gospel. Those that have taken it upon themselves to pass out a tract, to try to reach somebody with Jesus, for Jesus. There's not a greater joy, ladies and gentlemen, than being able to help somebody come to know Christ as their personal Savior. To be instrumental in somebody, whether you're the person that leads them to Christ or you was a help to that, it don't matter. There's such a joy in leading somebody to Jesus. Then if you would look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're just talking here a little bit about the crowns that we can win. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse number 8. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, praise God, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know, there's a lot of folks looking for the coming of Jesus, not so much for his appearing as much as their disappearing. God says we are going to get a crown if we look for his appearing. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you, when you pray, say, even so come, Lord Jesus, today? How many of us think, well, boy, hope God don't come today. I got some things I really want to do. Sure had fishing on my mind. Hope he comes tomorrow because my wife wants me to do something tomorrow. Amen. But not today while I'm doing my stuff. I know you guys would do that. I know. The crown of righteousness, that looking for Jesus. You know something that's really missing in our churches today is the expectation for Jesus to come. We ought to keep our eyes on that eastern sky. By the way, if he comes while we're in church, I'll see him first. I'm looking east, y'all are looking west. I get out of here a little bit before you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That's a good thought, amen. Then look in 1 Peter chapter 5. We read that one. We'll come back to James, and I'm just about done. We got to go to Luke chapter 14 once we're done with Peter and James. 1 Peter 5. Let me see here. 1 Peter 5. He's talking to the preacher here. He said in verse 4, 1 Peter 5, 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." The crown of glory is given for those who faithfully help the people of God to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, who help feed the people of God. Could be the Sunday school teacher, could be the preacher, could be the layman out here that goes alongside and tries to do a help and a ministry of trying to teach the word. Man, I got in the middle of an argument today. I don't even know how I got in there. It's Eric's fault. Where's he at? Yeah, thanks. But you know, I just quoted the Bible. And it's hard whenever we read the Bible to know that the Bible is very cut and dry. Not a lot of gray areas in the Bible. But you know, we need to expound the word. The job of the preacher is to feed the flock. And if there's a crown to be won here, the crown of glory, it'll be because I faithfully preach the Word of God. For you as a Sunday school teacher or as a dad or a mom to teach and instruct your children in the Word of God. Now, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of righteousness. Who was that yawning? Was that you, John? You heathen. Go over to Luke, and I want to read James one more time. Blessed is the man that endure temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now here's the way I believe that application is, and I'm just about done. Not done, I'm just about. That gives hope, amen. Luke chapter number 14, verse number 25. And I believe this is the application of that scripture. Luke 14, verse 25. "And there went out great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them," listen, "if any man come to me and hate not his father or his mother or wife," "if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Verse 33. "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." I believe this is the application of that scripture. God said, "I'll give the crown of life. I'll give this crown to all of those who will love me above all else. That will truly be my disciple." There's three things in this verse, and this is the message. All that other was just introduction. Here's the message. Luke gives us the right attitude in verse 32. You have to put God first and everybody else second, including yourself. God first, everybody else last. They ain't even a close second to everybody else. God's way up there in your life, and everybody else is way back there in their life, including you and your dreams and your hopes and your ambitions in life. You have to have the right attitude to be the blessed man that endures temptation and grabs or collects or obtains this crown that God gives. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. How are we to love God? With all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we have to have the right attitude. Second of all, we have to have the right action. Verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross, the hardships, listen, you're bearing a cross, you're bearing hardships, problems, difficulties. You bear them and you follow him. Young people, bearing a cross is a part of being a disciple of Christ. Church, bearing a cross is a part of being a disciple of Christ. Dying to you and following him. Bearing the cross is dying to your will. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. And he took that cross and went to Mount Calvary and laid down his life. Why? Because he loved God more than he loved himself. So you got to have the right action. And then verse 33 gives us the right award. We get the crown of life. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, your dreams. You know, young people, our young people, man, they got dreams. Some old people in here still got dreams. But you know, to be a disciple of God, you've got to give up everything you are, everything you hope to be, anything you want to obtain for him. Now, God may let you do those things, but he may not either. I'm going to do all for him. And what is the award that God gives us? When you get to heaven, here's your crown of life. You loved me more than you loved life itself. Boy, what a great God. Those that suffer with him shall also reign with him. James has also been called, along with Revelation, is the martyr's crown. Revelation, the Bible speaks about those who have the crown, who have given their life. You don't have to physically die for Christ to get this crown, but you have to die to self, to the dreams of your moms and your dads, to the dreams of your brothers and sisters. I remember Brother Flowers, and I'm going to close with this. I remember Brother Flowers one time telling me a story. He started a church, and he said he had had a good friend in the ministry. Maybe he was a wrestling friend. I can't really remember. But anyway, he said this guy was saved, and he said, man, I was really looking forward. Me and him were in church. We're going to start this church together. God was really blessing. Souls being saved. And he said, up and out, my friend just died. He said, man, I wrestled with that for a while with God and thought, God, how unfair that is. He said, we had all these hopes and dreams. He went on to the story. You know, sometimes it don't work out the way you think it's going to work out. But if you'll just trust him, that he does all things well, that God is right on time every time, you'll find out that he's faithful. Maybe tonight you just need to surrender all that you have and say, God, I'll be a disciple and I'll do whatever you want me to do. Amen? I want the crown. I want the incorruptible crown. I want the soul winner's crown. I want the crown of I lost my place. I want the crown of righteousness, the incorruptible crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of glory, and the crown of life. Want them all. And by the way, they're available to all. If you get to heaven without a crown, it's your fault. Amen? So we're going to pray. And then we're going to have baptism. But maybe while the invitation, now listen, we're going to have an invitation time. So since we have guests here, I try to explain this. Invitation time is time for you to do business with God. And maybe while I've been preaching, maybe, God has been dealing with your heart as a Christian, or maybe you've never been saved. If you've never been saved, God is dealing with your heart about the most important decision you'll ever make, and that's to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He won't deal with you about anything else until that issue is settled. Amen? And if and here's where it is. God deals with you way down here in the heart. Not in your blood pumper, but down in that innermost being where it's just you and God and nobody else. And it feels like somebody is just tugging, pulling, or possibly just poking at your heart. We call that conviction. And if God is convicting you or God is tugging at your heart this evening, you know what that's a sign of? That God loves you and God has chosen you tonight to come to Him. Sure, that's what that means. And since God loves you and since God just had enough grace to tell you to come to Him, why don't you just come? Amen? Why not just come and let God love on you and let God save you tonight? That's the first thing that you need to do tonight. As a Christian, maybe you have not been in some of these areas. Maybe you've not been that blessed man. Maybe you need to get here and commit yourself. God, I'm going to go back and I'm going to be the blessed man. I'm going to be that one who gets all them crowns and multitudes of them for the glory of God. I believe tonight God is doing something in your heart and mind that we need to listen to Him. Let's bow our heads and we're going to pray. And Miss Rachel or Miss Rosemary's one's going to come to the piano here in a minute. Typically, I don't do this a lot, but maybe tonight I will. Maybe tonight you're here and you say, "Preacher, I have never been saved. I don't know anything about heaven. I don't know anything about hell. But I've never been saved, so I assume God's speaking to me and I probably need to be saved tonight." Maybe tonight, while I've been preaching, the Holy Spirit of God's been dealing with your heart. I've heard people say, "Man, the preacher never took his eyes off of me." That's what conviction is. It's like somebody's always staring at you. Maybe tonight that's you. You say, "Preacher, I've never been saved. But I'm going to slip my hand up, preacher, and ask you and acknowledge that I've never been saved. And ask you, would you just pray for me during this time? I think God's really talking to me about my soul. And I surely don't want to play the fool and die to go to hell. Would you just slip your hand up? You can put it right back down. I ain't going to call you out. My goodness sakes, I wouldn't do that." I've had church members get saved, and God never gets the wrong person. Just slip your hand up and say, "Brother Tim, it's me. I'll just be your friend right now." Slip your hand up, put it right back down, say, "Preacher, I've never been saved." Now, if you don't, it's all right. God knows it, and you know it. That's all that matters. But maybe tonight, say, "Brother Tim, I've really never been saved, and I need to get saved. I really feel like God's dealing with me. We're going to pray, and we're going to have an invitation. And if you say, "I really do need to be saved," then maybe you just come on the altar, and I'll take the Bible and show you how. You don't have to get saved at the altar, but it's a good place to get saved. Father, thank you tonight for this time to be in the Lord's house. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless this preaching of the Word of God to our hearts. And I pray, Lord, if there's lost, that they'll be saved, and the saved to be committed unto Jesus Christ, who loved them and gave himself for them. In Christ's name, amen. Let's